What's going on, guys? This is the Anime Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And we are back. It is the 21st?
Yeah, January 21st.
Damn, it was already? Already?
I know, February is around the corner, man.
Yeah, a Tuesday. We are here post 246. Yeah, a lot to get to. We are looking also ahead to Bellator this weekend. I think it's... Which one is it? Bellator 238 with Cyborg against Julia Budd is this weekend, so we'll break that down. But first, we should get right into it. Fights this weekend. 246 was this weekend. Cerrone versus McGregor. Fight didn't last long. Event overall in the event. Well, you didn't actually. Did you? Were you able to catch the main card?
I caught some fights. I didn't see it all the way through. I was busy with my niece.
I caught most of the main card. I didn't really catch any of the undercard and the main event. We get right to the main event. So the main event was roughly 40 seconds over and done with. Conor McGregor taking care of business, taking out Donald Cerrone in 40 seconds. Came out hot right out the gate, straight left, shoulder strikes, and a head kick, and then finished out with some ground and pound. And that was basically everything, because the only strike that Donald Cerrone really threw was a head kick that Conor blocked and immediately returned with his own head kick that rocked Cerrone. Mm-hmm. Best performance of Conor's career as of late, for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
He looked great. I mean, I don't think we can say we got the full gamut of what he has at 170 in terms of his cardio and his conditioning and his willingness to take any sort of punishment or pressure or go through adversity in that weight class. We did not see that. What we did see was somebody that has not skipped a beat when it comes to dealing with pressure, when it comes to dealing with a worthy opponent, and when the moment calls, rises to the occasion. I think Conor has not skipped a beat at all. Looks great at 170. Looks big at 170. Fit, and just put on the performance that he needed to do for that night. I mean. For himself and the UFC. So,
no, I agree. Although, this fight was pretty much two 155 pound fighters weighing 170. So, we haven't really seen Conor fight a true 170. He basically fought a 155er that weighed 170. But
yeah,
I think he looked good, and a lot of people, including myself, both of us, were saying that. That Cerrone doesn't show up to the big fights, but yes, that's true. But also, we don't want to discredit what Conor did in that fight, and that's be dominant. And the way he came out kind of was a reminiscence to Masvidal, in his fight with Ben Askren. He looks happy that whole week. He really enjoyed himself, and he is a complete different person. And yeah, he just took care of business, and I think he wants to fight three more times, which is a good thing for both the UFC and for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really interested to see who's next on his hit list for, quote unquote, his 2020 season.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think he did what he needed to do for himself in the UFC. I think that this is the best case scenario for the UFC. They have Conor coming in, taking care of business quick. Pay-per-view numbers and social media tracking seem to have been at all-time high for the UFC when it comes to just a marquee, a title fight or just a headlining card or with a big-name star. We know who the biggest star in the sport is. It's Conor by far.
And also, this fight proved that you don't need a title attached to a main event when it comes to Conor.
No. When it comes to Conor, and I think when it comes to most fighters, I don't think a title is really going to change much. It's just you get good, solid matchups. You promote guys the right way. You promote your fights. You stack your cards if you need to. and let the chips fall where they may. It's not going to a title is not really going to affect something all that much. You're not going to get 100,000 more buys just because it's a title fight for
And for a long time, Dana White and the UFC brass, you know, they always felt that a fight needed a title attached to it, and this proves that you don't. I mean, we both have day jobs besides our show, and both our coworkers were going to watch the fight. Surprisingly, because like we talked about it, there was a big football game that same weekend, and so when people said they're going to watch, like we both assumed that people were going to watch the games, but they watched the fight instead, and that was really surprising.
Yeah, I kept getting asked, I'm gonna see the fight this weekend, or we're gonna watch the fight at.
Surprising.
Yeah, and I'm like, you guys are gonna watch the UFC fight, like, and they're like, yeah, the UFC fight.
I thought it was gonna be like a boxing fight coming.
I think there was a boxing fight, but nobody big name. I was like trying to think if there was anybody big fighting, and it just surprised me because I had a few people leading towards the end of the week. That were saying that they're going to watch the fight, or even the day of that we're watching the fight, and I had to ask, like, which fight are you talking about? And it's so we haven't had that in a while, where it just drawed casual fan attention. So I knew right then and there, I'm like, okay, this thing's going to be pretty big. And you could tell with even the stars in the audience, you had so many big athletes and actors and all that stuff. So. Yeah, he's the biggest star in the sport by far. He did what he needed to do for himself and the UFC. The UFC now can match him up with so many options. You have Gaethje, you have Masvidal, you have Usman, you have Ferguson, you have Khabib.
Maybe even Nate Diaz.
Maybe even Mayweather. I mean, it's
endless.
And maybe even Pacquiao. It's just endless. But it's still at the point where it's got to be strategic. Any of the questions that we had for him now can go on to these other fights. You can try to answer his cardio on the next fight. You could try to answer, you know, his grappling on the fight after that. It's murder's row. No, he's got nothing but difficult at fights. So he's got to be strategic when he picks his opponents. We could touch on Cerrone real quick. I think I would say the worst performance of his career.
Definitely in the UFC.
Yeah, definitely in the UFC. Mainly because two things. Of one, that he was not able to even get a shot off. And no one's finished him like that. And two, the stakes and the tension. And it's like the biggest, brightest lights he's probably had in his career in a long time. And
he got the opportunity that he wanted, and not many fighters would die for that opportunity.
And it exploded in his face, and it was unfortunate to see that because I like Cowboy; he's a fan favorite. He's been in the game for a long time. He's winningest fighter, and to see him, I thought the Gaethje fight loss was bad because he just got manhandled in the Gaethje fight, and it was seen like effortlessly by Gaethje, which was sad to see. But I don't know which one's worse. This one, and because I think this one might be worse because I had people asking after the fight, like, was he a good fighter, or like, is he?
That's sad.
Like he was, you know, or like, because not that many people knew of him. It was almost like the Aldo thing, where Aldo had this long undefeated 10-year career, going undefeated, and then he goes up against Connor at the height of his popularity.
Oh, the casual
and
eyes were on.
Casual eyes are on that, and all they see is 13 seconds.
And they don't even know his legacy before that fight.
Same thing happened with Cerrone in this one. I had people asking me before and after, like, is this guy, like, good? Or is he, like, is he just, like, some can that they're feeding to Connor? And then even after, they're like, oh, was he just not a good fighter? Like, or how was it? Like, I'm like, no. I'm like, no. It's just how the fight played out. Two, you have different styles in terms of how they fight. Connor's a fast starter. Cerrone's a slow starter.
And three, I mean, we hate to say this, but Cerrone kind of folds in these situations.
Yeah, and then there's a whole thing of Cerrone folding under the big fights. And this is not.
I mean, if it happens one time, but this happens
on a consistent
basis. Yeah. But I don't know. It sucks, man. You know, that Cowboy had to go through that. But you also want to shine what Conor McGregor did, right?
Yeah.
And he fought a perfect fight, man.
He knew what to do. He knew to go at Cerrone fast and quick and hard. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
Cerrone, I don't know where you go from here. He can retire. It wouldn't be a bad thing. It's hard because he put so much pressure on himself, too. You got to think of, like, he has his entire family there.
His grandma, yeah.
His grandmother, his kid, his freaking wife. Like, and on top of, like, just being in front of millions of eyes.
Celebrities. You know, oh, yeah, like, that sucks.
Now
he's like a meme.
Yeah, and then he does that for every one of his fights. I get it. And sometimes he wins, sometimes he loses. I mean, to his credit, he's only lost to the top guys.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, he's only lost to a Ferguson, a Gaethje, McGregor, you know. Like,
dude, and I was watching that that press conference, I think a couple of days before the fight, the one where Cerrone and McGregor had words. Like, oh, come to my weight class.
Yeah.
To 155 and I'll beat your ass. This is when Conor was still at 145.
Yeah.
And when I saw that press conference, I was like, "Ooh, it's gonna be a good fight." And you see what happened. I was like,
"Yeah, I think Gaethje." Well, for Cerrone, I think he's a perfect example of a fighter that would benefit from a sports psychologist. Mm.
Yeah,
because of Chael Sonnen did the same thing where he went to see a sports psychologist, GSP after he lost to Sarah. I think Sonnen was after he lost to Anderson, I think the second time.
Yeah.
Seeing one. He just knew he would fold under these big events. And I think more so with Sonnen, where he felt like when the pressure was on him under a big marquee fight, sometimes he'll get in his own way. And that's obviously happens with Cerrone and he's just never done anything. I think at this point, what's the point this? You know?
Yeah, he's at his tail end of career, and nowadays I don't think the stigma of going to see a sports psychologist isn't a bad thing at all.
Now he strikes me as somebody that wouldn't consider it.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's like one of those guys who he's almost like an addict who he will never admit their problem.
Yeah, or like think that like, oh, like that's for psychology.
Had a bad night.
Psychology is just for pussies.
For pussies,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just had a bad night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though he's a perfect example of a fighter that needs a sports psychologist.
Yeah, because we see it often.
He folds under the big fights. Yeah. And he puts a lot.
All his title fights.
All his title fights. Or if somebody. He's like the, if anybody needs to go to see one, he does, because like when we analyze his fights, we always analyze it like, oh, is he friendly with them? Is he not friendly with them? Are they being too aggressive with him, or are they too passive? Like we try to analyze his mental state and how he interacts with people and how he's going to do.
Because there's always one consistent question when it comes to Cerrone before his fights is, what Cerrone's going to show up?
Yeah.
That's always brought up.
Yeah.
In all his fights.
And
it's because of his history.
And how he's he's interacting with the other fighter, and then we try to gauge how he's going to perform.
Mm-hmm. It's sad.
Yeah. It's sad that he's never considered doing it. I don't know. Maybe he has. Maybe he's tried it. But I think he's somebody that would benefit from it. At this point,
it's kind of pointless because he should just.
He's towards the end of his career. Yeah. He's got maybe.
He's just fighting his contract and that's it.
Yeah, two or three fights left. Maybe he should just try to get a couple wins in there and then call it a day.
Get paid and call it a day.
It's unfortunate to see that guy go out like that because he's such a fan favorite. And even when he lost in that crowd, they cheered. It's sad. And especially for his kid. You don't want his kid to see. Who goes to all his fights now? Mm-hmm. See him lose.
And then losing
it's three in a row now.
Your girl?
Ooh. I know. And it's three in a row, and they're bad losses.
Mm.
You get stopped by Ferguson, you get stopped by Gaethje, and you get stopped by Conor. Like three in a row stoppages. Maybe hang it up.
Mm.
You know, what are you going to do? You're going to have to go down a peg in terms of competition and then hopefully get a win or two. and then call it a day. Maybe you could do that, I guess. Make yourself feel better.
He's one of those guys that I think won't retire. I think when his contract
gets forced to retire, I think.
Yeah.
I think he'll do good. I can see Bellator picking him up. I can see Bellator picking him up. But even if he called it a day, I can see, because he's got so many interests and so many hobbies, and he's probably knowledgeable about a lot of things, that he can commentate on bull riding. He can commentate on like freaking dirt bike riding if he wants to.
Snowboarding.
Wake. He could work for ESPN, do some things. He can do a hunting show. Mm-hmm. It's like there's so many
avenues
that you can utilize his celebrity that, you know. It's just, and he's a good talker. Even if ESPN wanted to use him, he's a good talker.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know. McGregor, I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know. Who would you match him up against? We named all those guys.
It's kind of tough because with McGregor, it's not necessarily, you know, him. It's more his opponents because Khabib's going to end in Ramadan pretty soon, so he'll be out for a while. So you got to count him out.
Ferguson, Khabib in April,
or
end of May. You have Ramadan, I think, in June.
He'll be gone for the summer.
He'll be gone for the summer, and depending on how that fight goes, like we talked about, chances are Khabib's not going to get out of there without a scratch.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to take some time off. Probably not fight till the fall. Yeah. And then what if he loses?
Yeah. I don't see Nate fighting him again.
No, I don't see the Nate fight happening.
No. Gaethje is probably...
Masvidal, I think...
Or Gaethje,
yeah. Yeah, I think Masvidal... It could happen, but he's a little too dangerous to where... I don't know if the risk is worth it. Well, the fight would be big.
He did say F Connor, and he's I'm not going to wait around for anybody.
Yeah, I think he's... Him and Usman are probably the... Like super dangerous in terms of like the challenges they bring. Usman, I think, is a little too big, but also let's go with each one. I guess Usman is injured still; he's still recovering. He'll probably fight like maybe around summertime. Masvidal's ready to go, but if I was choosing either between him or Gaethje, I'd probably go with Gaethje because I think Gaethje's the more winnable fight.
Yeah.
And if you have Cowboy and Gaethje under your belt this year already in the first 6 months, that now sets you up. That'll set you up for Khabib in the fall.
Because Conor wants to be consistent. He wants to fight regularly.
He said at least three times, right?
Yeah.
So you do Gaethje before the summer, around the same time as Khabib is fighting Ferguson.
And just fight Khabib after.
And then fight Khabib after in the fall. And then...
And avoid Usman and Masvidal.
Yeah, avoid Usman and Masvidal. Let them fight it out. And eventually maybe there's...
Those two guys are your toughest opponents.
Yeah. And then you could do let's say Khabib goes well. Do a trilogy or something like that. Or maybe you just get two in with Khabib and then you can fight Nate. Or maybe do a boxing fight with either Mayweather or Pacquiao. Yeah. And then,
because you want to avoid the two tough guys and still fight notable names, but get wins under your belt rather than fight the two toughest guys and risk losing. Not saying that he can't lose against Gaethje or Khabib, because he can.
You can.
But I think that avenue is a road to success than fighting two guys who are two 170 pounders and can be a dangerous fight.
Because we know Gaethje gets hit.
And he fights wild, and Conor is very patient. And I can see Conor knocking him out.
Yeah. Even though I think he's a big guy, bigger than most people really think, because when you see him up against other people, he's just like, he's a big guy. So he's got that on his side in terms of Gaethje, but I would do Gaethje around April, May, and then Khabib. And then if you want, you could do a Nate trilogy, or you can do a boxing fight.
Yeah, and leave Usman and Masvidal at 170.
Let them do their thing. Yeah, most likely, you know, that's it.
Have a one fight at 170, kind of like Anderson Silva fought at 205. This would be his one fight at 170, and stick it at 155.
Yeah, and if you want, In 2021, you could do a Ferguson if you want. You could do a Frankie.
Yeah.
And then just get, you know,
retire
Frankie and then get the fuck out. In that time, you'll go make millions of dollars, especially if you do a boxing fight in between that.
Oh. Well, he already has money that he can never spend.
Let's say you beat Cerrone, you beat Gaethje, you lose to Khabib, you fight Mayweather, you make a shit ton of money, you go against Ferguson, maybe you win, maybe you lose. Ferguson likes to get hit, so that maybe there's a chance that he can, you know, beat Ferguson. It's 50-50 on that one. Then you maybe retire Frankie, and then just, then I don't know, to call it a day. That's call it. Yeah, you'll be like in your early 30s and a multi-millionaire, billionaire, whatever. Yeah,
because you want to reach a billion.
Yeah, and you then got your proper whiskey.
And then you look at, if he does that, he'll still have the respect from the fans because he fought notable names.
And from what I see, I think it might be leaning towards Gaethje because we have even John Kavanaugh is saying that Gaethje, he wants to see Gaethje and Conor at welterweight. So if you got your head coach,
so he's sticking at 170. He's not going to go to 155.
No, I think he's sticking at 170. He's only going to go to 155. I think for Khabib and Ferguson. Those are only two.
So is he willing to fight for the title at 170?
I think so.
Conor, don't do it.
I don't think so either. I don't think it's worth it. I think you just,
that's a dangerous fight, man.
Yeah, it's a dangerous fight. You get one more in
because this one's such a good wrestler.
Yeah, you got one more in, and then you move on out of that division.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anybody else from the card that stood out? Notable mentions? Holly Holm looked okay.
Yeah, the Roxanne.
Roxanne surprised, huh?
Yeah. That was a great fight. She, Barbara, she injured her leg, no?
Yeah.
In that fight?
She injured her knee in the fight.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good, a really good fight. Especially because, you know, Roxanne is a veteran and, you know, she stopped a really good, what's that what I'm thinking for? I'm looking a really good,
contender?
Prospect? Prospect, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel the same way. That was probably one of the bigger upsets of the night. Aside from that, there's a couple good finishes, a couple good, you know, results. But obviously it wasn't like a stacked card.
It wasn't, yeah.
Anthony Pettis losing pretty handily in the second round, submitted.
He's so inconsistent.
After that fight, where do you go?
With your brother in Bellator.
With your brother in Bellator. Yeah, where do you go? Because Diego Ferreira, to his credit, I mean, is a great fighter, but not a big name at all, even in the UFC, not a big name.
Yeah, and that's those fights are the most dangerous when the guy is good with no name value.
And then you go and start losing to guys like that are coming up and just that are killers, and then and losing handily. You didn't even really put up a fight. Really, he just controlled you the entire time, submitted you. Mm-hmm. I don't. We call it a day. where do you go? I don't know. You could probably do some big fights here and there with some names like a Diego Sanchez or something like that. If I was Price Pettis, I would just look for fights like that. Matt Brown, Pettis, or not Brown, you do, I'll do a Matt Brown, do a Diego Sanchez. Do fights like that where people recognize the opponent that you're fighting.
Or go to Bellator and make a shit ton of money.
Or go to Bellator.
I mean, at this point, where do you go from here?
I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know. That's probably what I'd too if I was him, because obviously you're starting to lose to the lower end of the top 10 guys.
Yeah. So
this weekend you have some good card. You have UFC Blade versus Dos Santos, and then Bellator's card over here in Inglewood.
We will be there, so if you guys are there, come see us.
We will be in attendance for the Cyborg and Bud card this weekend. On UFC's ESPN Plus card, you have Angela Hill on the card. You have Nick Lance. Yeah, Nick Lance. Co-main event, Michael Chiesa versus Rafael Dos Anjos, which I like that fight. Sarah McMahon's on the card against Lena Landsberg. A couple of dimey dimes are there. I like Lena Landsberg. I think she's pretty, and then Sarah McMahon, obviously, she's a little cutie, too.
She got two. Oh, my God.
So those two are on the undercard. That's a surprisingly in the middle of the card. I would put them a little bit higher on top, but I don't know why they're not. Chiesa against Rafael dos Anjos, which I think is a great fight. And then Curtis Blaydes against Junior dos Santos in the main event. Co-main, Michael Chiesa, Rafael dos Anjos. Who do you like?
I'm gonna go Chiesa.
I'm gonna go Chiesa too. I think especially the current Rafael dos Anjos. Him training at, where is he at right now?
Is he back with
No, I think he's still at Perillo. I think it's still Ruka and Perillo. I don't think he's.
Yeah, I don't know why he made it.
It's probably one of the worst decisions he's ever made, because I think we talked about this before, but it just, Perillo's not a Muay Thai coach.
He's a boxing guy.
Yeah, and then the amount of top level athletes that you have coming out through there is not high, because it's more of like a private gym. There's not a lot of notable names there, a lot of up and comers, and a couple of like seasoned veterans. It's not a big camp. It's not a big gym. You know, like the fact that you left Kings with Rafael Cordero, who's a fantastic head coach and a Muay Thai practitioner. You have guys like Calvin Gastelum and Fabricio Verdum, and you know, a bunch of other guys that come out of Kings.
Calvin.
Yeah, you have a bunch of other guys that come out of Kings that you can train with. And it fits more your style, that Muay Thai type of like aggressive style.
Yeah, for those, like you have who? Like Ian Butler?
Yeah. They're really, who nobody, I'm sure you guys don't know. I'm sorry, Ian, but you know, it's just, you know, one has Calvin Gastelum out there on the daily, and the other one has, like, you know, undercard Bellator fighters
who not even fight like they fight on the internet.
Yeah,
if they're lucky.
So I mean,
and Bellator is dark matches.
So I mean, yeah, I just thought it was the worst move that he can make, and not that Perillo is a bad coach in any way, but for his style, it does not work. It's more of you want like a BJ Penn, who's a boxer jiu-jitsu practitioner, works. When you have a Dos Anjos guy, Dos Anjos type of fighter, that, or even like with Cyborg, that is more of a Muay Thai practitioner, doesn't work with Perillo. Perillo's not a Muay Thai guy. Yeah. He doesn't do kicks. So I don't know. I'm going to go Chiesa, because I think he'll weather any kind of storm that Rafael brings at him, and then he's got the wrestling.
He can mix it up pretty
good. He's a big guy, bigger guy than Dos Anjos, and I think he'll just mix it up and probably control him most of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Curtis Blaydes against Junior Dos Santos. I think Curtis is more a little bit on the roll, no?
Is he is. That's why I'm having a hard time choosing, but
he won his last two. He beat Justin Willis, and he beat Shamil Abdukumov. I don't know. He lost to Francis Ngannou, 45 seconds. That was, you know, one of his worst losses. You fly all the way to China, and then you lose in 45 seconds. It's nothing worse than that. He beat Alistair Overeem, TKO. He beat Mark Hunt. He beat Olenek. You know, he beat another Russian guy. He beat Milstead. He's only really lost to Francis Ngannou. That's the only loss he has on his record, is two to Francis Ngannou. One from a cut, one TKO, like a punch. And
I'm going to go Blaydes.
I'm going to go Blaydes, too.
Just because JDS hasn't—he's been inconsistent himself, and he's up there in age.
Yeah.
I think he's at the tail end of his career, and
definitely. Yeah, I mean, let's go JDS since 2013, and this is going way back. Hunt lost to Cain Velasquez, 14. Stipe beat Stipe. 2015 lost to Alistair. 2016, almost one fight a year during that time. He's basically had one fight a year. He's only been able to double up in 2018 and 2019. 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, all one fight. Mm. You know, and he's injuries, you know, he's had a couple of kids since then. His record's not horrible, though. He'll win, lose, win, lose. He's put together two wins in 2018. Against Ivanov and Tuivasa. He put three in a row, and he beat Derek Lewis. Mm. last year, and then he lost to Francis Ngannou TKO. So they have a common opponent that they just fought, and I don't know. You still go with Blades? I think I'm gonna go with Blades too.
Yeah, Blades. Yeah.
I think he's still. I think he's more well rounded. He's got the wrestling. You know, JDS yes has looked good, and he's pretty good at maintaining distance in a way, but you know, I think he's older. So
yeah,
I'm gonna go with Blades on that one. So that's this weekend, same night as Bellator's card. Bellator will be over here. Then you can go with California at the Forum. You have on the undercard, you have Curtis Millender versus Moses Marietta. A friend of ours, a former guest on the show, Moses Marietta, is on the against Curtis Millender. Not an easy fight for him.
I think Aaron Pico's in the prelim, right?
Yeah, Aaron Pico is headlining the prelims against Daniel Carey. Oof. It's a must win. Aaron Pico's got to, like, I know he's in, I think, where is it, Jackson's now?
Yeah.
Let's hope the time off has paid off.
But. Yeah.
On the undercard, or on the main card, you have Emil King, who I'm not necessarily familiar with, but you have Ava Knight, former boxer, looked fantastic in her last fight, is coming back, making a return to Bellator. You have Raymond Daniels against Jason King, which is great. Raymond Daniels is, it'll probably be his third fight in MMA.
Mm-hmm.
You have Sergio Pettis making his debut. You have Juan Archuleta against Henry Corrales, which I think is a fantastic fight right there. That's going to be probably fight of the night right there.
Yeah.
You have Adam Borix versus Darren Caldwell, which I think is another great fight right there. It's going to be interesting to see two contrasting styles, striker against a grappler. And then you have Julia Budd versus Chris Cyborg and her debut. It's a solid card. I'm excited for
just being there and just like being seeing there and seeing these guys.
And, yeah. And there's a lot of really interesting matchups on here. So we'll see. Juan Archuleta, Henry Corrales. Who do you have?
Oh, God. I'm going to go. Oh, that's such a hard fight. I'm going to go with the hometown guy, Henry Corrales.
You know Henry Corrales?
I don't know, though, man. I don't know.
that's
a hard fight. Yeah, that's a
that
hard
one's
fight.
A hard one to pick. Yeah. You have Juan Archuleta, who's a lot of movement, in and out, striking.
He's so good.
He's so good. But you have Henry Corrales, who's patient, calculated, you know, more like a traditional style, you know. Juan Archuleta has more of like the, you know, he's got a herky jerky style, kind of like a TJ type style.
I took the easy way out. I'm picking him because he's a hometown guy.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Juan Archuleta.
Smart pick, man.
I think
it's a hard fight to pick.
I think his movements are, I think he's just going to just be in and out against Henry Corrales. And I think by the time Corrales kind of catches up, it's going to be, the fight's going to be over and they probably lose by decision.
I can see that happening.
Adam Borix versus Darren Caldwell. Remember, Adam Borix is the one that last knocked out Aaron Pico. Fantastic stand-up fighter. Young guy. I'm going to go with Borix, too. I think he knows what he's going to get with Caldwell. Hopefully, he can stay away from the takedowns and then, you know, maybe get another highlight reel.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Caldwell is not an easy fight. He's good at what he does, and he's not one-dimensional.
Right? No, I don't know.
Julia Budd, Chris Cyborg.
It's hard not to pick Cyborg. I'm going to go Cyborg.
Yeah, women's featherweight title. This is the matchup outside of the UFC. This was the matchup to make. Bellator, I'm glad they just did it right away. Didn't waste any time.
Yeah.
Julia Budd is 13-2, has been on a roll since last few years. Chris Cyborg, 21-2, has only recently had an up and down in her career, and for the most part has always been on the up. So, I'm going with Chris Cyborg on this one. I think the pressure she brings is going to be interesting. How she comes into this fight against a worthy opponent, a big girl, Like Julia Budd's not a small girl.
She's not. She's super athletic. Yeah.
So Cyborg's definitely got a challenge on her hands. I mean, you look at Cyborg. I mean, it's not much to criticize. We know what we get from Cyborg. Yeah. She lost to Amanda Nunes, but you're dealing with fire against fire in that fight, and unfortunately, she came out on the losing end. Mm-hmm. She thoroughly beat Felicia Spencer before leaving the UFC, and everybody else before that. So it's Julia Budd has only lost twice early in her career. Her last loss was in 2011. Mm. She's been on a roll since then. Obviously not against the same type of competition.
Yeah.
But, you know, her skills are still good nonetheless. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see size-wise how Cyborg deals with it. But
I agree, man.
I'm going to go with Cyborg.
Yeah.
Got to go with that one. Probably. And I think this will be her home. Like, I mean, I think in terms of a promotion that will treat her well. Yeah. And end her career out in Bellator.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the card this weekend. So if you guys are in attendance at Bellator 238, make sure you come and say hi to us. We'll be posting a bunch of stuff on Twitter and Instagram and social media. We have this episode, and then we'll do a follow-up next week.
Yeah.
Until then.
Peace out, guys.
Peace out.